Good morning. Well, my 6-year-old son at the moment is in that stage of life where he likes what you might call form jokes. Jokes with a good formula, you know, a knock knock, who's there? Or a what do you get when you cross a something with a something? What do you call a something with a something? Or I've got good news and I've got bad news. He says, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is there is no bad news. You know those kind of jokes? Well, today's sermon, to me, feels a little bit like the punchline of a bad, good news, bad news joke. Last week, Steve got to preach on why prayer is easy. Today, he's given me why prayer is hard. And you know, there's some really terrible good news, bad news jokes. I don't know if you've heard those before, but it's like, I've got some good news and some bad news. That's a bit of a nerd joke, that one there. The good news is that prayer is really easy. So the bad news is that you're even worse at it than you thought you were. Is that right? Is that the implication? If prayer is so easy and you're still not good at it, does that mean you're even worse than you thought you were? Is that where we're going? It's all our fault. We're even more hopeless than we thought last week. I bet you went home last week feeling encouraged. Not anymore. Steve said we're all great prayers through Jesus. Every prayer is a great prayer through Jesus. The phone line is clear. If you use this analogy, God is always at the other end, waiting to hear the prayer, to answer the call. So the problem then is just you, that you won't pick up the phone, that you don't know how to use it. It's all your fault. Is that the punchline of the good news? I am actually hopeful that you went home last week feeling encouraged. I certainly did. Feeling better and more positive about prayer. These are three things that Steve gave us last week. God the Father loves to hear us pray. God the Son makes every prayer pleasing to God. And God the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. Were they encouraging to you last week? A few people, a few nods. But just reflect for a minute, just silently in your own head. Did it change your prayers? Did it help you pray? Did anything change last week as you prayed? Research has shown that most people prefer, if given the option, to hear bad news first and good news second. That's because we want to keep our mood high. We hear the bad news first, we finish on the good news, we can go out feeling good. But the research has also shown that if you want to actually change or improve in response to feedback or critique, it is more effective to hear the good news first and the bad news second. The lingering feeling of uncomfortability is what will motivate us to do better. We prefer to stay in a good mood, so give us the good news second. But if we need to change, what we need is the bad news. Bad news perhaps then can be good news if it has a good purpose. But perhaps let's take a minute just to talk with our neighbours, like we did last week. Why is prayer difficult? And you can just answer this really personally. Why do you find prayer difficult? All right. Here's a bit of a list, and you can tell me if I've missed anything. Probably hit on most of the big ones. Why is prayer hard? Time. I don't have time. I'm busy. I get distracted. My mind wanders. I don't know what to say. I don't hear from God. I feel guilty I don't know what I'm allowed to ask for or know how I'm supposed to pray. Anything else that I haven't got there that you talked about in your groups? Lots of us, I think, have issues like this. Prayer requires time, discipline, takes humility. Maybe you need some silence or some stillness in your life. It requires waiting, obedience. Lots of things to do with, perhaps you might call them, discipline. Some to do with willpower. But we're busy, we're tired, we're distracted, we're impatient. Is our problem just that we need to do better at these things? Get better? Try harder? But they're not the only issues, are they? Because there's also issues of faith and trust and relationship with God. These are heart issues too, not just discipline issues. To pray requires faith and trust in God. It requires certain beliefs about God. It feels strange to us. It can feel pointless to us. There's lots of things in there that are not just issues of discipline or issues of willpower. And we know that the Bible, if you've been in this church for a while, hopefully you've heard, the Bible is not into religion for religion's sake. Discipline for discipline's sake. Indeed, it teaches us that religion and piety and prayer and worship are hollow if they don't come from the heart. What makes prayer and worship acceptable and pleasing to God and good to God is what is in the heart. But even more than that, I think it teaches us that ultimately what you do will follow from what is in your heart, will follow from your desires. Your problem is not the strength of your willpower, but the strength or the object of your love. In the end, in a sense, we always do what we want most. We pursue the priorities of our hearts. And so the Christian model for behaviour change is never to focus on the outside, but to go inside out. We don't force ourselves to do better, be better, try harder, do more, get up earlier, stay for longer. The Christian model for behaviour change is to start with the heart, to apply the gospel and the good news of God to our heart. And like a tree that bears fruit, if you think about a tree that bears fruit, it doesn't bear fruit by thinking really hard about popping out some apples from its branches, you know, on the end. But a tree bears fruit if it's planted in good soil, if it's watered, if the sun shines, it's healthy on the inside and the fruit comes out, right? So what does that mean for prayer? It means you won't solve your problems with prayer if you have problems with prayer. Good on you if you don't. You can't get better at prayer, so to speak, by just focusing on discipline. It means we have to work from the inside out. And it means, in one sense, quite simply this. We don't pray because we don't think prayer is worth it. It's not because we're too busy or we're too important or we're too distractible or we're undisciplined. I think most of us are not that undisciplined, really. We don't pray, though, because prayer does not seem worth it. And I want to suggest that if prayer does not seem worth it to us, probably or perhaps it's because one of these two reasons. We don't believe, perhaps either, that God is powerful or that God is loving. We doubt God's power, and so we see prayer as a waste of time. We have more important things to do. Or if we doubt God's love and we misunderstand our relationship with God, we think of prayer as a duty, as Jeanette has kind of described to us already this morning, as a job. And if we think of prayer as a duty and a job, we do, quite frankly, probably have more enjoyable things to do. The result of either of those is that we don't pray because it doesn't seem worth it. Now, of course, it's not quite that simple. If I asked you whether God was powerful, you'd probably say yes. If I asked you whether God is loving, you'd probably say yes. I'm not saying you're heretics and you believe the opposite. But perhaps we do live our lives in a way that says something different to what we believe. As though God is not really all that good. As though God is not really all that powerful. Do you think of prayer as a dreary duty? Do you live as though prayer is a waste of time? And what might that say about what you believe about God? Now, this really is beginning to sound like bad news. I'm sorry. But I hope by the end it won't be bad news, because I do want to encourage us this morning. The flip side of those things is this. The good news is this. We can pray because God is powerful. God is powerful, living and active at work and inviting us to join him in his work. We can pray because God loves us and invites us into a relationship with him. That's the good news. Now, that's not to suggest that if you only truly believed that God was powerful and that God was loving, suddenly all your life would change and you'd stay up all night praying, happy and engrossed with nothing you'd rather do. You may not pray for longer. You may not pray more eloquently. You may not pray about different things than you do now. You may or you may not pray any differently. We've heard those are not the marks of a good prayer. Prayers are good because of the mediating work of Jesus. But perhaps what we need, and perhaps what this morning we can hear, is that we can feel differently about prayer. Enjoy it, seek it, rely on it. The key is not to work on praying, it's to grow in our faith and trust in the power and love of God. And the work of praying will issue from that. So briefly, let's look at these two things that we've suggested underlie perhaps what might stop us from praying. We don't pray because we think we have more important things to do. Or in other words, we doubt that God is powerful to act. And prayer seems a waste of time. I wonder if the main reason that you don't pray is because you're too busy. Is that possibly a sign that you don't trust that God is powerful to act? That God is the one who's in control? How many things do you try, people do you talk to, books do you read, answers do you come up with on your own before you turn to God in prayer? If you're like me, you sit down to pray, but you think of all the things you need to get on with. Of course, there's a bunch of really significant questions at play in this as well. We talked about some of these last week too, to do with what we call God's sovereignty. What sort of control God has over things that happen in the world. If God is sovereign, if God is in control, why pray? If God needs us to pray, then is he really in control? Does praying longer and more often make something more likely to happen? Does that mean God can change his mind? We can't talk about all those things in detail here this morning, but what I do want to do is just give you what I think are the affirmations of Scripture in answer to some of those questions. Just three. Some people answer a question like that by saying, well, God, you know, praying may not change the world, but praying will change us. Does prayer change us? Yes, it does. That's true. Prayer is an expression of our faith and trust, and it builds our faith and trust. As we bring things to God and talk with Him, in relationship with Him, perhaps we worry less, perhaps we can become more accepting, perhaps speaking things out loud helps us to order them in our minds. Perhaps all of those things are true. Prayer does change us. But that's not all. The Bible also affirms that God is in control. That God is in control of things. That means He doesn't only get to act when we pray, or He doesn't always act when we pray. But it also affirms that in addition, He does act in response to when we pray. There's examples or stories of this in the Bible, and there are encouragements to pray. So prayer changes us, yes. God is in control, yes. And God acts in response to our prayers, yes. So God's sovereignty or control over the world, you might say, includes His right to respond to the actions and prayers of His people. And we can best express our trust and our belief in God's power and sovereignty, not by refraining from praying and saying, well, God's, you know, got it all in hand anyway, but by praying with the expectation that God can intervene in human lives and respond to us when we pray and work in the world. Instead of thinking of that idea of sovereignty or control as something that impedes our prayer, we can think of it as the way that prayer is effective. This shouldn't add extra pressure to pray, as though if we don't pray for things, God can't do them. But it should give us motivation to pray, because if we do pray for things, God can do them. God will act. God will work. I think what Jeanette said last week as she shared with the group, the question is not, does prayer do anything? But the question is, can God do anything? And the answer is yes. Secondly, perhaps we don't pray because we have more enjoyable things to do. If the main reason that you don't pray is that prayer is a drag, is that a sign that the way you see prayer or that you understand faith perhaps is more about rules than relationship? That prayer is a duty or a job or a task to do, the right thing to do, rather than relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves you? And don't worry, I think we all do that sometimes. But perhaps we don't enjoy prayer because we misunderstand it. One of the first things we tell Christians is that they should pray. We hear that other people pray, though we don't really know what they do when they pray, but we think, oh, we should too. Prayer is taught as a discipline. It's taught as an act of faith. It's the kind of thing that good Christians do, that strong Christians do. And so we learn to pray because we're supposed to pray, I think. If you've had a different experience, I'd love to hear about it. But then prayer falls into this category of things that we're supposed to do, like cleaning our teeth and washing our hands and cleaning the toilet every now and then. Every now and then someone says to you, you know, are you praying enough? How's your prayer life? And of course the answer can never be yes. So we think we have to pray more, do more, set better goals, do a better job, find some new technique. And if we think about prayer like this, then no wonder it's kind of a drag, right? I wonder, as a good diagnostic for this, if you can try and answer this question, how much and what sort of prayer would be good enough? Could you look at your life and say, yep, that, you know, that's enough, that was good. I'm good at that now. How much and what sort? I think it reveals, it's the totally wrong question, of course, which is only revealed when we ask it out loud and try and answer it and realise that there is no answer. How much and what sort is good enough? The problem is that we don't ask it out loud and answer it. It's our implicit sort of operating question, but we never speak it out loud and expose it as the wrong question. Which means we all kind of carry on with this subtle and ill-defined guilt about not meeting a standard that we actually have no idea what the standard is of how much and what type might be good enough. How much prayer is enough? How many times should I ask God about something before I've given it a really good go? Should stop? How many of my family members is enough to pray for in a day? How much prayer will make me a good enough Christian? Somehow, we must retrain ourselves not to think of prayer as a task. So, does my three-year-old ask herself whether she's put in enough time with her parents today? Does she wonder whether she's, put in enough hours? My three-year-old relies on me because she relies on me. She can't get enough of me because she actually can't get enough of me. And not just when she needs my help, but for everything else as well. And in the book that we're working through as part of this sermon, Tim Chester's book, You Can Pray, the main image that he has for us as prayers is this. Prayer is like a child asking a parent for help. So perhaps it's helpful to keep the three-year-old in mind. Prayer is like a child asking a parent for help. So how can prayer be more like that? How can we begin to see it differently? Well, I wonder if we might start by asking ourselves and each other some different sort of questions about our prayer. Instead of, did you pray about it? Did you really pray about it? The assumption is you never can pray about it well enough. What about this question? What is God saying to you about that? What is God working in you through this? What do you think God is teaching you? What resources is God giving you? What are you asking God for? The goal of all those questions is to actually hear from God, to relate to God, not to meet some standard, to have done something, tick it off. They highlight relationship and not rules. And they motivate us to pray. I think, my God wants to say something to me, to give me something here. And of course we remember to keep prayer relational, that we pray to a person. We don't pray to an it or to a force or to a thing. And I think that's why those three things that statements God gave, Steve gave us last week, God gave us through Steve last week about how we pray to God is so helpful. We don't pray to an it, and you don't have to empty your mind or become Zen or just completely change your personality before you can approach God. You're a person and you talk to a person. The Bible describes God as a father, Jesus as a brother and as a friend, the Holy Spirit as our helper. So perhaps it's helpful to think, to have these words before us as we approach God in prayer. God the Father loves to hear us pray. God the Son makes every prayer pleasing to God. And God the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. Charles Spurgeon said this: God looks not at the elegance of your prayers to see how neat they are, nor yet at the geometry of your prayers to see how long they are, nor yet at the arithmetic of your prayers to see how many they are, nor yet at the music of your prayers, nor yet at the sweetness of your voice, nor yet at the logic of your prayers. God looks at the sincerity of your prayers, how hearty they are. How hearty they are. So I've got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is that prayer can be difficult. We know that, I think. The good news is that it's not a question of your will, of just trying to do better, work harder, do more. The key to prayer is not to focus on prayer or the doing, but to focus on God. Perhaps next time you have a small group discussion or a conversation about your prayer life, instead of how can I pray better, perhaps ask yourself, how can I grow my faith and trust in the power and love of God? You can pray. You can pray. Because God is powerful and living and active and invites you to participate with Him. You can pray because God loves you and invites you to enjoy a relationship with Him. Let me pray for us. Our loving God, we thank you that no matter what we say, how good our words are, how long our prayers are, how strong our voice is, that our prayers are pleasing to you in Christ. God, you love to hear us pray. You make our prayers acceptable to you, and you help us by your Spirit to pray. Lord, we ask today that you would work in us to change our hearts, to grow our faith and our trust in your power and your love, that we might walk with you and pray and talk and trust and join in your work in the world. Lord, give us faith to know that you can and do respond. Lord, give us peace in our relationship with you as one who loves us and loves to hear us. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.